This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Things was kind of slow, see? So I cruised over to Kennedy.
Kennedy Airport?
No, Cape Kennedy. I'm looking to pick up a fare to the moon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it was. My head is
grand. It's Sunday night in the Big Apple. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. Frank can't be with us tonight. Unfortunately, you're listening to WOR 710. The Taxi Dave Show is brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And tonight we're going to have a guest, Maria Dulles, Director of City Studies from the Citizens Budget Committee. Is New York City doomed financially? There was a TLC meeting this week. The beginning of raised pedestrian crossings. Think about that. The MTA, according to the controller. And legalizing motorbikes. In the meantime, next week, June 7th, we are going to follow the Mets game. So right after the Mets game and the post-game show, the Taxi Dave Show will be on. We may be a few minutes late, so if you turn the radio on at this time and you hear sports, keep the radio on. WOR 710, we will be on after the Mets game and after the post-game sports show. So, a lot of rain out there today. Parts of the BQE are flooded out. Parts of the Harlem River Drive are flooded out. You know what I don't know, and what really irks me, is in the 1970s, parts of the BQE and parts of the Harlem River Drive were flooded out. You'd think after 45 years, people would figure out how to get rid of the flooding. But why should that upset me? Also, for a while, Long Island Railroad trains were out shortly, then they're back on. The Sawmill River Parkway today was closed half a day due to an accident. It's open now. Traffic's very heavy. And lucky it's not continually raining. Because, folks, this is the weather where you should never get on a roadway, a parkway that has the word river in it. Sawmill River Parkway? Hutchinson River Parkway? Stay off those parkways because the water usually, during heavy rainstorms, is about 4 feet high and you cannot drive through it. Hello? Also, a good friend of mine wanted me to remind you again, do not use your cruise control in heavy rain. You will hydroplane and hurt yourself or others. So no cruise control in the heavy rain. Thank you. And we don't want to test how good your tires are either. If your tires are getting bald, change them. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihail, T-A-X-I-H-A-I-L, at AOL.com. If appropriate, we'll read them on the air. And our number is 800-321-0710. Oh, we got a call. All right, before we speak with our guest, let's take a call from Clem. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
I heard you medallion owners have good news. There's going to be a meeting at the TLC in regard to placing rules for Uber to abide by. Well, I want to say I was never in an Uber vehicle, but I know when I get into a medallion taxi, the complaint number and the medallion number is staring me right in the face as I sit down, being annoyed by the television. Well, I haven't been annoyed lately by the television because I flick the buttons, and then I come upon a channel where there's no noise. All they show is what's on the meter. So you people who are annoyed by the television, just push the buttons until you get that peaceful sighting of seeing the meter readings. and then you don't be bothered by the TOV, by the television.
Hey, Clem. Yeah. You said you owners, you medallion owners. You think I own medallions?
No, no, you're a radio host.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to me.
No, no,
but you know what? Let me just tell you something. There was a hearing this past Thursday about rules for Uber. So it's funny you mention it. And we have a clip from one of the speakers. Noah, can you play that clip from a guy by the name of Mike Simon, who testified at the hearing this past Thursday?
Thank you, Commission, for giving me the opportunity to talk. I'm a medallion owner. Within the proposed rules, there is no definition for pre-arrangement. Black car on-demand apps are raising costs by luring drivers away with a cycle of decreasing supply of taxis, therefore increasing demand for black car on-demand service, and thus more surge pricing. There are a few complaints regarding surge pricing because passengers feel cornered. If we had an efficient on-demand taxi service, we would have less illegal e-hails and find it easier to hail a taxi. I define an illegal e-hail as an e-dispatch that was not prearranged. If app companies want to have on-demand service, then app companies should buy medallions. Your requirements for data submission are unclear. You are requesting a pickup date, time, and location, but you are not requesting the time the arrangement was asked for and comparing it to the time for the requested pickup. These two points are crucial if these rules are going to be based on prearrangement. These apps should be licensed only for prearrangement and not for on-demand service. Currently, passengers using some of these apps have no means of booking a future reservation, only for booking an on-demand black car. The apps should be rejected in their current design because they are on-demand apps. Drivers of black cars using these apps may risk substantial fines for every trip they book being on-demand. These app companies could be responsible for revocations of TLC licenses of its drivers. The medallion must be made right. The recent upheaval in the industry is not the medallion's fault, and the medallion should be not held accountable. Existing stakeholders have a right to continue as before with their rights intact while they adopt the latest innovation. Black cars should be expensive through a hefty tax for passengers who want luxury unencumbered by certain rights that taxis must have, such as anonymity of passenger, wheelchair accessibility, ability to take riders without credit cards, ability to take riders without smartphones, and no rating system. Medallions are the most useful of vehicles. They pick up the most people per car, employ the most drivers per car. The city profits from their use and are the most wheelchair accessible. They cover a lot of ground, and most of the time with the passenger inside, making it extremely utilitarian. Medallions work. Make these rules tougher for black cars to be an on-demand service, which they have no right to be. Thank you.
Now, that was a gentleman by the name of Mike Simon at the Taxi and Limousine Commission hearing this Thursday. To make it fair, there were an awful lot of tech companies that testified also who were against rules. It seemed that a lot of the industry was in favor of the rules with some changes. So, Clem, that was the meeting about rules that we're talking about. Before we get to our special guest, I gave out the phone number. Let's just take one more call, and then we'll get to our guest. And after our guest, we'll take more calls. So, let's see. Noah, let's take the next call. Eugene, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Dave. I have a question about the parking. What is it like at the facilities over at Staten Island for ferry? Do they park a lot of cars over there, or is it, you know, tight or what?
Take public transportation.
Well, no.
If you're going to park a car down in that area, there are a couple of lots that are there. They're not cheap. You know, you can expect to go for probably at least $45 for like 3 hours. So, there and up. So that's why I say take public transportation. It's not easy to park a car around the Staten Island Ferry. Are you talking on the Manhattan side, by the way?
No, I'm talking Staten Island.
Oh, gee. Well, you know what? I'm going to put that out there to our Staten Island listeners. I really don't know the answer to that.
I'll tell you the reason why. I thought about sending some friends up to New York from Philadelphia, and I was wondering, to get in New York, forget about driving in New York, you know. And I thought about, I know that there were some kind of a facility for parking at the ferry over in Staten Island, and I figure I'll tell them to go up there and park it, and they'd be coming up on a weekend type thing, you know, and leave your car there and go over, enjoy the sights, grab a cab, grab a subway, whatever you want to do, and then come back. And I figured that since that ferry, and it seems like they just added another ferry to it, is, you know, pretty well used on a daily basis, but I figured maybe the weekend is maybe not so bad. What was that? Hello?
Taxi Dave is back. We had some technical difficulty. For those of you who don't know, we're broadcasting not in the studio, and we have this expensive remote system. If the internet goes down, and that's exactly what happened, then you lose me. With all the weather, there have been power shortages and internet interruptions, and that's what happened. Eugene, great idea to have people come up and stay in Staten Island, park in Staten Island, take the ferry across and see Manhattan. You know, otherwise, the parking alone there is going to cost them $45. I want all you listeners, or some listeners who live in Staten Island, email me, taxihale@AOL.com, or call the studio, 800-321-0710, and just let me know, is there parking on the Staten Island side of the Staten Island Ferry? So, before I get disconnected again, well, it could have been worse. I could have had my guest on, and we got disconnected. Maria Dulles is the director of City Studies and actually works for the Citizens Budget Commission. She manages the New York City Budget Analysis and Government Studies, focuses on urban competitiveness, municipal labor unions, public workforce, infrastructure policy. Oh, I'm interested in that. She's authored reports on budget deficits, capital planning, Plan NYC. It's spelled PLANYC. It's not PLA NYC, it's Plan NYC. Public and private partnerships, employee compensation, on and on and on. What could I tell you? Went to Queens College here, graduated with a Master of Public Administration from George Washington University. Maria Dulles, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Sorry if I got you nervous there, but that's showbiz.
That's quite all right.
Now, as far back in April, there was an article, an editorial, and the title said, De Blasio cooked the books. And there were a couple of scams that were mentioned in that. But just this past week, there was testimony before the New York City Council, the Committee on Finance, regarding the 10-year capital budget for New York City.
Right.
And now it's $83.8 billion, which is a $30 billion increase from the prior 10-year strategy, which was just in 2014. So how can the capital plan go up $30 billion basically in 1 year for the future? Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. So the plan is really a long-term plan. It kind of projects spending out for the next 10 years, and it's supposed to be a blueprint for what the mayor wants the city to do and how he wants to improve infrastructure going out 10 years. And the plans theoretically are put together with an eye toward what the city needs, of course, but also are constrained on the other end by how much debt the city can afford to have, because debt is how we pay for all these things. So the last plan was done by Bloomberg, before he left office, and the sense was that, you know, Bloomberg had spent a tremendous amount on infrastructure while he was in office, and on his way out said, okay, we're going to pare down this plan a little bit, and, you know, we still expect to make big investments, but we won't be necessarily spending on all fronts at the level projected. Well, Mayor de Blasio has sort of looked at his capital plan and, continued to make investments in a lot of the areas Bloomberg did, but also added spending in other areas. So cornerstone of his campaign is the 10-year housing plan to preserve or create 200,000 units. So that's one example of spending that's been added to the plan. That's about $8 billion. He also has One NYC, which is the successor to Plan NYC. And there are a lot of green investments outlined there, including retrofitting city buildings that also require additional spending. So he's added the spending to the plan, and based on the metrics that the city traditionally uses, says that the administration feels comfortable with the level of debt that would be needed to, you know, to borrow to pay for this stuff.
Were you privy to some of the capital expenditures in the plan for roads and bridges?
Well, you get, that's part of the problem. You don't get the level of detail you would like, and in fact, you don't always get a sense of what the plan will accomplish and what will be left to do. So roads is a great example. That's, in fact, the only area where we know what the dollars allocated, which the Department of Transportation is planning on spending almost $13 billion in the next 10 years. They tell us how many lane miles it plans to repave and how what kind of work it plans to do on the bridges. So there is a sense of, okay, here's the performance you can expect as a citizen with the dollars we're trying to allocate here. But it's really the exception. In the other agencies, you don't get the same kind of reporting in detail. And so, you know, you're sort of left to wonder, okay, I know you want to spend on retrofits, on the water system, on sewer mains, but what's the need you're trying to address, and then what should I expect in terms of results coming out on the other end?
We're speaking with Maria Dulles, the Director of City Studies from the Citizens Budget Commission. By the way, the Budget Commission was founded in 1932. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan civic organization devoted to influencing constructive change in the finances and services of New York State and New York City governments. Did I cover that, Maria?
You got it. I know it's a mouthful.
I have a question about debt service. We know in the 1970s, New York City borrowed its way into almost oblivion in the future.
Mm-hmm.
How much of every tax dollar, or what do we have to look forward to? Is the debt service growing at an alarming pace?
It is, actually. It's been growing pretty rapidly in the last decade, but, you know, in the wake of the recession, interest rates have been very low, which has allowed the city to refinance its debt very aggressively and to realize savings, which is a very good thing. But with spending, capital spending projected to keep growing like this, the city will take out more and more debt, and the debt service is expected to grow almost 40% in the next 5 years.
And in dollars and cents?
It's now about $6.2 billion, growing to probably about $7 billion.
So now it would be like, what, 9% of the entire budget would be for debt service?
So out of every one, about 12% of all city-funded expenditures go to debt service. So it's about 1 out of 8 city dollars.
So in the budget, the article from the beginning of April, you know, had talking about cooking the books and some tricks or possibly a scam, one with health savings, mm-hmm. Savings in health care, and then there's another one. Can you tell us about that little trick of creative finance?
I can talk. I don't know about the creative finance one,
okay.
But on the health care side, so the budget has grown a lot since Mayor Bloomberg left, and it's been driven by spending on new initiatives, but a big part of the story is also that the city's workforce was left without without any contracts being settled. So Mayor de Blasio, to his credit, has come in and his team have been rapidly sort of negotiating these contracts and getting them settled. But as a result, you know, there's been a big increase in spending. And so what they've said is that they will try to offset the cost of that spending by working with the Labor Committee, the umbrella organization for all public unions, to do something on health insurance and to find efficiencies and savings. And they set annual targets every year for how much they'll meet. The problem, and something that we've spoken about, is they do have a menu of good ideas for things they can do to make the plan more efficient and to save money, things that will bend the cost curve in the long run. But what they're doing in terms of recognizing savings, at least in the first year, is just claiming money from the fact that due to the slowdown and increases in national healthcare costs, the rate of increase for the plan this year was less than was expected, right? So the difference in savings, which would have generally accrued back to the regular budget to fund, any priority you can think about, is now being credited to this labor agreement. So we sort of said, hey, that's not quite right. Traditionally, that would have gone back into the budget, and you're claiming it against the agreement.
Taxi Dave is back. This is the Taxi Dave Show. this never happened before. It gets a little embarrassing, and it may happen again tonight, folks. Thanks to the storms out there, our special guest has been Maria Dulles, the Director of City Studies from the Citizens Budget Commission, and we've been talking about the budget and how it's going to affect the future of New York City. Maria, I'm sorry about this, but what could I say?
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. What I could say is this. In general, if you're a New York City resident, should you be concerned about the future, and why?
No, but, the city's economy is doing well. The city's economy has also diversified significantly in the last few years, so we're still heavily dependent on finance, but, there are a lot of other sectors that are thriving in the city.
What? I'm curious. What sectors are thriving in the city?
Tech sector is one that everyone talks about. So we have, we're attracting a lot more venture capital than we have in the past, and so that's big plus here. Leisure and hospitality industries are growing, and our professional services are also growing, sort of leading the way in job growth in the last year and a half. The economy is thriving. The danger is that the economic expansion, is sort of, it's been a long expansion. It's sort of passing the average length. And so what that suggests to some of us, at least some of us who like to worry, is that there may be a recession on the horizon. And, of course, nobody can predict these things. But while things are good the way they are now, what the city should be doing in the budget is really building its reserves. And the mayor has done this a little bit.
$500 million, right?
Right. So, they're adding a little bit, and they've got $1 billion reserve. They've launched a new fund. They're adding money back to the Retiree Health Trust Fund, which pays for retiree health benefits. So they've done some of that, but at least we feel that they could be doing a lot more. And the city has a long tradition of asking agencies, even while the budget grows, to kind of assess their operations, look for efficiencies, find places where they can cut. And the mayor didn't do that last year. He did that this year, but the dollars involved were very small. So really, there's not much to be worried about, but this is the time to prepare. So there should be more done now to build up the reserves in the budget so that if and when that recession comes, it won't be as painful.
Maria Dulles, before we get cut off again, I'd like to thank you for being on the Taxi Dave Show. If you ever get specifics on income from summonses, let's say, from different agencies, or on, you said the roads are very, it's out there with the Department of Transportation. It's quite transparent, which is good.
Yeah.
But please feel free to come back on the show. This is Maria Dulles, Director of City Studies from the Citizens Budget Commission, always looking out for us folks, okay? She calls a spade and dissects the money that the city spends and the city takes in. Thanks for coming on the show.
Have a great night.
Okay. So, our phone number here is 800-321-0710, and our email address is taxihale@aol.com. I see we have a couple of emails. Let me just get to them. I recently found out that the Taxi and Limousine Commission passed a law to make 50% of all yellow cabs accessible. So I ask you, are 50% of the New York City residents disabled? This law does not make sense. People with disabilities already have a number to call when they need a cab. Is it another law that adds more financial hardship to taxi owners? They didn't pass a law. It was actually a judge's decision. And they negotiated with the city under Bloomberg as to agree to start making 50% of the New York City yellow taxi industry wheelchair accessible. Okay, so I just wanted to make that clear. And right now, let's take a call from Tom. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show, and our number is 800-321-0710. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Dave. I just wanted to let you know about the cell phones. In the last roughly 2 years, I almost got T-boned from people on cell phones. I hit a crossroad, and I saw the lights. It was dusk. I saw the lights coming aside. I started slowing down. A kid ran straight through the red light with a tablet on his steering wheel. I was like, oh, my God, thank God I caught the lights. So, and then I was on my motorcycle, and a guy just went straight through the stop sign. I just caught it. I slowed down. But I'm just letting you know, that is like the worst possible thing I've seen in the last 2 years. And as far as the economy, let me go real quick on that. I was just out in Minnesota. You can't believe the amount of jobs and business that's out there. Every single business is moving out there because of the taxes. The land is cheap. And what they do, these companies put their own windmill farm out there, and they hire thousands of people, and there's help wanted signs everywhere in Minnesota. New Jersey is the worst. I'm telling you, the companies are shutting down. They have to relocate. You got the economic situation with NAFTA. You got Canada.
And the highest taxes in the country.
Absolutely. New Jersey is done. Everybody I'm talking to is departing New Jersey that's having some trouble, unless you're a surgeon, doctor, or lawyer. That's it. So the general businessman is shot. So I just wanted to give you my opinion. If you want to ask me a question, go ahead.
Yeah, well, do you wear a helmet when you ride your bike, your motorcycle?
Yes, I do.
You know, every year during the summer, especially during the summer, which is the best time to ride motorcycles on the country roads, I don't know what it is, but every week there are horrific accidents and the riders are killed. So I think people need to take notice of motorcycles and motorcyclists. You know, I mean, God be with you, because it's not easy. You know, you have those bikes for enjoyment, and it just breaks my heart every week to see, you know, to see deaths of motorcyclists.
Well, the worst thing is I have a few friends that had accidents that sat in a hospital bed for 6 months with broken bones. They wish they were dead. But, yeah, you're right. It's horrible.
And getting back to distracted driving, you know, that could be the cause. I mean, if you heard my show last week, I was hit in the rear, all because of a 19-year-old who said, my bad. And I guarantee you, he did tell the police he was distracted. I think he was texting while he was driving. So just stay safe out there, Tom. Thanks
all
for
right.
listening to the Taxi Dave Show. Our number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. Now, the 2015 Ford Mustang, in case you own one of those, about 20,000 of them with a 2.3-liter engine are being recalled. Something about the undercoating. If underbody temperatures are consistent, it might cause a fuel tank leak, okay, and fuel lines to degrade. If the fuel tank leaks, you know what that means, okay? It could also cause the parking brake cable seals to degrade, affecting the parking brake functions. So you're going to be hearing from Ford if you own one of them. And then the largest recall ever, 34 million vehicles recalled, as the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration talked about Takata's airbag campaign. That includes Ford, BMW, Fiat, Chrysler, Honda. It just goes on and on. They're expanding it, it seems like, every week. So keep your eyes on the mailbox. Now, if you drive in New York City, you're aware of Vision Zero. You're aware of the penalties if you don't yield to pedestrians, especially if you don't yield to pedestrians in crosswalks. You should always yield to pedestrians wherever they are. And the 25-mile-an-hour limit and slow streets. But there's something new that was just voted on. There's a project, I guess it's a pilot project, for raised pedestrian crossings to start. The project's going to get $250,000. And the first elevated pedestrian crossing is going to be on 9th Avenue at 45th Street. I guess in the last few years, I know of two deaths of pedestrians crossing at that intersection, at that crosswalk, I should say specifically. So, if you don't know what an elevated pedestrian crossing is, this is what it is. If you're on the sidewalk, you don't have to step down. It's not a curb cut. The crossing is the same height as the sidewalk. So if a vehicle is turning onto 9th Avenue from 45th Street, obviously you have to go very slowly. The problem is, and we all know it's in the name of safety, let's assume it's at a time where there's no traffic, and you're driving south on 9th Avenue, and you're adhering to Vision Zero, and you're driving 20 miles an hour. You cannot drive over a pedestrian, a raised pedestrian crossing at 25 miles an hour or at 20 miles an hour, because you will probably bottom out and hurt your vehicle. Now, that's just the first one. The second one is scheduled right now to be built on 25th Street and 8th Avenue. So if raised pedestrian crossings become common, you think traffic is bad now, folks. You wait till this happens. You know, just when you think, okay, hey, great, I'm going to wait till after hours so I can get down there faster, it's not going to happen. But these are some of the things that must be done in the name of safety. Here's an email from Upcar. Dear Taxi Dave, we the yellow taxi drivers need this kind of sophisticated GPS panic button connecting you to the nearest precinct or NYPD cop car much more than the passengers. Instead, we're relying on this useless trouble light from the 18th century. Both buttons need to be installed at the same time if approved. But be warned, the passenger panic button will be subjected to a lot of abuse, mischief, and pranks. But for the driver, it will be a true lifesaver. Thank you, Upcar, for that email to taxihail@aol.com. And our phone number is 800-321-0710. And this is from Mr. Sphere. Dear Taxi Dave, if the Taxi and Limousine Commission was looking to convert half of the fleet taxis to handicapped, the Taxi and Limousine Commission should force Uber and all vehicle for hires. And that's how it ends. Thank you, Mr. Sphere. That's on an email to taxihail@aol.com. Hey, if anybody knows if there's parking for vehicles on the Staten Island side of the Staten Island Ferry, can you please call us here at 800-321-0710? I mean, we have callers in 38 states, or listeners in 38 states, or is it 46 states? I get confused very easily. I think it's 38 states and 46 countries, actually. So give us a call, because when tourists come in, you know, if you're visiting someone in South Jersey, it really might be a smarter idea if you don't go into Penn Station to drive to the Staten Island Ferry in Staten Island, park your car, and take the ferry over. And then the subway system is right there. And while you're down there, I mean, the Battery Park is beautiful. You can take the boats to the Statue of Liberty from Battery Park. There are museums down there, including the Holocaust Museum. Wall Street is down there. The World Financial Center is down there. And as you move north, there's Chinatown and Little Italy. That's a good idea that Eugene had before when he called. So, but we need to know if there's parking on the Staten Island side. It would seem that there should be. I mean, you have not too far from there the minor league Yankees team, and they're building the world's largest Ferris wheel, supposedly, for tourists. Scott Stringer is the city controller, and he's claiming that there's an invisible fare that affects each and every New Yorker in fees and subsidies that goes to the MTA to the tune of $130 per month. And that's for people, well, that's without buying a Metro card if you're a train user, a subway or bus user. And it ranges from sales taxes and payroll taxes, the 50-cent fees you pay on yellow cabs that go to the MTA, and the money NYPD spends on policing the subway. So $130 is what Scott Stringer is saying it costs you every single month. The MTA has tentacles that reach everybody. So the city directly budgets money for the MTA, including over $300 million a year for transit cops. All right? And an MTA spokesperson answered Stringer's comments by saying, and I quote, "It is incredible that the controller acknowledges in his very first paragraph of his report that the MTA needs more funding from every level of government, but uses fuzzy math to justify letting the city off the hook for using some of its billions in the future surpluses to pay for its fair share of mass transit." That was from an MTA spokesman. So now you know. This is pretty interesting, folks. The motorized bicycles, I was almost hit by them one day, twice in like the same minute, and you have to look both ways when you step into the street, because these motorized bikes, which really are used by restaurants that make deliveries now, it's kind of a way of life. It's they banned them. They had heavy penalties on them, heavy fines if you get caught. But now, Senators Jose Peralta and Assemblymember Avarela Simotas proposed that the Department of Motor Vehicles maintain a registry and also establish safety regulations with insurance in order to regulate the motorized bicycles that are on the street. Even the drivers would have to register them with the Department of Motor Vehicle and themselves. And they're saying that attempts to ban them have not worked, and accidents can create big liability issues. No kidding. Under the proposed legislation, traffic infractions would be punishable by fines of $25. Great. All right. This is the Taxi Dave Show. You're listening to Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Kevin, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Oh, we lost Kevin. And no Tom. We are having technical difficulties. Okay. So, what I wanted to tell you folks, if you're listening next week again, June 7th, we are going to follow the Mets game. The Mets game starts at 4 o'clock, usually ends about 7, 7.30. Then there's a post-game show. We'll be on right after the post-game show. So if you do tune in for the Taxi Dave Show and you hear baseball talk, we're on right after that. So just stay tuned. What else you should know this week is there were certain bills approved by the city council. One bill requires all large city vehicles... All our city vehicles to be equipped with side guards. And our side guards are the devices that fit on the sides of trucks that help prevent pedestrians and cyclists from falling into the exposed spaces between vehicles' axles. Another bill was passed, 315A, and that would require the Department of Transportation to conduct a study on truck route compliance. Apparently, there are many trucks that don't take the routes they're supposed to take. Another bill, 641A, that was passed this week, is going to require the Department of Transportation to conduct a study on the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists along truck routes. And also an analysis of serious crashes involving pedestrians and bicyclists on truck routes, and information on the policies and strategies to increase safety on truck routes. You know, you remember, if you've been a weekly listener, there have been many times where pedestrians have been killed by large trucks turning with the green light. The pedestrian also has the green light. The truck does not see the pedestrian. Really sad things that happen, and they're going to try to take control of that situation. Charles, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, when you're an elevated crosswalk, it's like a big speed bump, so if somebody hits it, lose control, they'll crash and kill more people. Another stupid idea from our jaywalking mayor on the phone.
So what do you say to the people who live in that area around 45th and 9th who signed a petition to put that in for safety?
Well, it's like, you know, bright ideas that they don't think through. You know, they expect that suddenly everything just becomes perfect.
Okay. Do you have any ideas on how to make pedestrian crosswalks safer?
Well, people got to look. You know, don't walk into traffic. like I've had happen a couple times. People, just walk out in the middle without even looking. Like the mayor, he was jaywalking on the phone. Post had a picture of him doing it.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Hey, listen, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We have Mike just sent us in an email about parking on the Staten Island side of the Staten Island Ferry. Yes, Taxi Dave, there is plenty of parking on the Staten Island side of the Staten Island Ferry. So there you go, Eugene. Tell your friends to come up. Don't go over the Verrazano Bridge and pay $15 and then another $8 for the Battery Tunnel and then another $45 to park for 3 hours down at the Battery. Park in Staten Island, take the ferry across. It's cheaper. And take cabs. You'll have a good time. Let's just do one commercial, Noah. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls at 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihail@AOL.com. I'm Taxi Dave. We've had some technical difficulties last night. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll be right back.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
I can turn the gray sky blue. I can make it rain whenever I want it to.
You're listening to WOR 710, and we are the number one show in this time slot on WOR, the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We have a couple of minutes left. You know, I like to do some personal stuff. With us right now is Kevin, the owner of Betty's Country Kitchen in a little village that I love called Washingtonville, New York. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm good, Taxi Dave. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. I happen to be in your establishment twice in the last 2 days. I'm glad to see a lot of activity and people frequenting it.
Yes, thank you very much, Dave. It's always great to see you.
So, you know, we've talked about some things to do in Orange County in the past. I just want people to know that Washingtonville is about 20 minutes from West Point. You know, these are day trips, folks. You can take weekends and you can take during the summer. And you have to pass by Washingtonville if you're going to, let's say, the Orange County Speedway, if you're a car and race enthusiast, if you're going to Bethel Woods, if you're going to Monticello Raceway. Soon the casino is going to be here. They're building it right now. In Washingtonville, we have the longest operating winery in the country, called the Brotherhood Winery. There's a lot of things to do. So, Kevin, tell me how you got involved. And by the way, this isn't a regular diner, folks, that you see, you know, that it does stand on its own. But why don't you tell our folks how it's different than one of those modern buildings that are diners?
Well, Dave, I think that the building has character. It's built in 1803. It's in an old federal-style colonial house. It really had some very historic local families who have owned the house in the past. And like you were saying before, Washingtonville is really in the center of Orange County. You're a 20-minute drive from West Point, from Bear Mountain, from the Woodbury Commons. So many great things nearby.
I have to correct you. We're only about 12 minutes from Woodbury Common.
Correct, correct. We are only about probably even less than that if you drive a little fast. But yes, yeah, you know, really, Washingtonville really is, you know, it's a short day trip from New York City, and Betty's Country Kitchen is really just the, you know, I really want people to feel at home there. I think as you feel at home, even when it's busy, if it's slow, I think it's a place where the locals come as well as people who come visit the winery, you know, where you get, something fresh to eat. Everything is made fresh. There's nothing, you know, nothing par cooked ahead of time like what happens in a standard diner. And we'd love to see some more people make day trips up to the area.
So, you know, during the summer, folks, I mean, we're going to have Kevin back on again because there's always stuff happening. I mean, there's a, I think there's a beer and wine festival at the winery in July up in Washingtonville. And, you know, we have parades in the village. I mean, there's so much, there's a great sense of community that kind of gets lost in a big city. And, also, there's a lot of deer, so be careful.
Yes, yes.
In fact, you're almost guaranteed to see them. I mean, right across from the winery, there was like a whole family of them just yesterday, you know, hanging out, looking at the tourists coming and going. It was pretty funny.
Without a doubt. It's small-town America, just a short drive from New York City.
So how did you get involved in this, Kevin? I'm
curious. Well, I got involved with that. You know, I as you know, I'm a retired New York City police captain. I grew up in Brooklyn, moved up about 20
years
ago.
Actually, I didn't know that, but thank you for telling me.
Yes, you know, we moved up from New York City about 21 years ago before my oldest children went to school, really for safe neighborhoods and quiet living after being born and raised in Brooklyn. And, you know, every time my parents or relatives would come and see my girls in a game or a show or up for some family holiday, we always found that we were, you know, driving out of town to different locations to go out as a family to eat. Washingtonville never really had a typical family restaurant. So that was really for about 15 years or so. I always thought when I retired from the police department that I would open up a family restaurant in Washingtonville, something other than pizza or Chinese food.
Well, I have to tell you, everyone I speak with who eats in that restaurant, you know, you drum up conversations. It's very, you know, it's not like New York City. I mean, everybody's friendly and you talk to one another. And one thing everyone agrees with is the food in your diner, in I should say your country kitchen, is better than any of the other diners. And you're right. I don't like driving 10 miles in each direction to go have, you know, scrambled eggs for breakfast. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Absolutely.
You know? So, let's just see. Every weekend, just to let everyone know, Orange County Speedway does have racing. You should check it out online. The Orange County Fair is going to be coming in July. There's a lot of stuff that goes on up in our area. So, for tonight, Betty's Country Kitchen. Come on up. If you're going to spend the day at West Point, come into Washingtonville. If you want to go to a winery, go to the Brotherhood Winery, but make sure you eat and you stop at Betty's Country Kitchen first. Great place for a day trip. Kevin, thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you so much, Taxi Dave.
We'll see you again, that's for sure.
We'll see you soon.
Don't forget, next week, folks, we're on right after the Mets game. That's June 7th. If you turn it on and you hear sports, stay tuned, because the Taxi Dave Show is going to be on next week. We may be a little late, who knows? And then a surprise, June 28th, we're broadcasting live from San Francisco. How do you like that one? The iHeart Radio family has opened up their doors across the world. We're going to try to broadcast from different cities once a month in the future. I'm Taxi Dave. I want to thank all our callers. I want to thank Maria Dulles from the Citizens Budget Commission. All our listeners, as usual, I know a lot of you can't call. You're driving. A lot of you are home. And thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show on WOR, brought to you by Melrose. I gotta go now. Hey, taxi! Hey, take me to that Betty's Country Kitchen. I wanna try something here.
This has been a podcast from WOR.